Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this October 27th, 2022, 10:34 on the clock, and you have your host, James, here, and I am joined by some of our favorite people. We have Laura Huber here with us. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, James.
And Jasmine Carbajal with us. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning.
Thank you both so much for being here. We love being able to talk 4-H, talk about different 4-H things. Today, we are going to be diving into a couple of different topics with our 4-H, some great events going on, some opportunities for people. Looking forward to all that, but first, we're going to talk about a great, great, wonderful event we've touched on a little bit here. Dia de los Muertos.
You got it.
Ah,
yes. Good job.
Pam, mark that on the calendar, would you? This is such a fun event. You guys, one of the things that I'm enjoying about this event and just talking to people in the community and everything about it is that maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I'm kind of blown away by how many people understand what Day of the Dead is and that it is kind of becoming more and more of a common knowledge thing. It's fun. It's an interesting thing. And it's also something that not to take this in a bad direction or anything like that, but in the last 3 years, we've had a lot of loss. We've had a lot of hurt, and people are everybody heals differently. Day of the Dead is such a wonderful way of healing with others, healing and remembering our loved ones, and sugar cookies. Like I can't escape past that part, Jasmine. I have to mention that. The sugar skulls are amazing.
Yeah, the sugar skulls is what's going to get you to the event, I hear. So I hope that families are excited for this. We are going to be talking about, for you're right, a lot of people kind of are embracing this holiday. But if you want to know more about it, I get to share a little bit of kind of how we celebrated it in my culture, like in my family growing up. And yeah, those sugar skulls. So it's a family friendly event. So it's for everybody, not just, you know, the youth. We'll talk about the importance of sugar skulls in the holiday because it is the way that we remember our loved ones. And they're just fun, right? Coloring sugar skulls. We'll have them there available. We had extended the registration. So, but you know what? If people just want to show up, that is totally fine too. We have enough sugar skulls for everybody. And then we'll be watching the movie Coco, which is a great movie, and it's been such a great partnership with the library. I'm really excited there at Macmillan to host us to have this awesome event.
That's really cool to hear. And it is a fun event. And while the kids, especially because I experienced this a little bit in my youth, we had a wonderful family that we were very close to that were from Mexico, and they taught us about what Day of the Dead was. And as we were joking in our break there and everything, as a little kid, all I cared about was those sugar skulls. I love those things. I remember hearing the conversations the adults would be having about what the day was. And how my mom, while we don't have any Mexican heritage, actually a tiny bit from Tampico, now that I just remembered. but really, without that, it really has become something even in our house that we celebrate every year. Thanks to that family and thanks to remembering this. It's something that culturally, it crosses all barriers, all flags, all state lines and country lines and all that. It's such a fun, unique thing. So it's a true family event. The kids enjoy all that part of it. They get to see the movie. And for adults out there, maybe they get to learn more and more about what the day is. And there's not many, if not any, I can't imagine there's anybody out there that would not be able to embrace this holiday because we've all lost somebody. And it's not easy. But part of the healing with that is celebration of life. And that's what really this day is all about, is about celebrating life and memory.
Yep, yeah, you're totally right. And I think that, you know, sometimes like in the US, we don't necessarily are able to deal with grief or like when we have loss. And so when you talk about the healing process and how we can help heal and deal with a lot of the loss that we've had in the last couple of years, I think this is a great way to do it. And, you know, we embrace other parts of the Hispanic culture in our community. So this is just one other thing that we can embrace that you can do as a family. And, you know, it's right around Halloween. So, like, it adds to that fun after Halloween because we traditionally celebrate November 1st and 2nd. So it's going to be great. And I'm really excited.
When it comes to the event itself, too, one of the things that I'm thinking that's really fun about the event is not only all of those things, but the idea of as kids get older and they deal with loss, this being a way of kind of bring awareness to that, but enjoying it. I'm reminded of New Orleans funerals. Mm. And for those that don't know, traditionally New Orleans funeral is where they take the casket down one of the popular streets, and there is a jazz band or a Dixie band or something mm-hmm. accompanying it, and really a celebration of life. Mm-hmm. I've always thought that they did it right, you know, that that's the way it should be. Loss is tough, difficult, and no getting around that. But it doesn't have to stay that way. Part of how we heal is healing with others, sharing our the memory of this person. And, oh, you were friends with so-and-so and that. And yesterday would have been my mom's mom, my grandmother's birthday, and she would have been 85. And we were talking about her. My mom and her had a tough relationship. I had a bit of a difficult relationship with her. But we miss her. And she was a big part of our family and everything. And we're talking about her, and this came up. And it's been some years since this has happened. And so yesterday when my mom and I are talking about her, it is much more of a celebration than it is a mourning. And we realize, you know, well, we're still doing it. We're still, embracing Day of the Dead. We're still doing these things. That's another part of this, too. That this is a beautiful part, Laura.
Yeah, and I think it's critically important because I think one of the things that happens here is we suffer a loss, and then there's the funeral, and then everything apparently is supposed to end. And then people around us are afraid to do things like mention the name of that person that we lost for fear of hurting us or causing us pain or causing grief. And in truth, I think it's just the opposite, right? I think we find comfort in knowing that our loved ones were loved and appreciated and remembered by others. And that's one of the pieces of the Day of the Dead. If you're not familiar with Hispanic culture, you don't have to go to Hispanic culture to look for this, right? It's grounded in All Saints Day in November 1st in Christian cultures, but it's not something that our churches have typically celebrated. Mm-hmm. Some do, some don't. It's just kind of like this invisible thing. And yet it's something that I really think we need to bring to the surface so that, you know, we understand that those people that we've lost still matter.
Yeah.
They've still had an incredible impact on our lives, mm-hmm. and we miss them, and we want to know that they're remembered, valued, and remembered by others.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was doing a little homework on this and everything, and just the history of Day of the Dead, because I love history. But it even had an influence here in the States. Because you notice, especially older cities, the graveyard tends to be in the middle of town sometimes, or in a more populated part of town. And for many people, you know, especially if you just moved to that said area or whatever, you're kind of like, well, that's different, you know. But like towns like ours and many other cities in our area have that. It's because of this. It's in part because of this, I should say. Not the only reason, but it was a big part of the reason. People, you know, you lose a loved one, you can go to the graveyard. It's right there in town to be able to see them and, you know, remember them and those things. It's something that we've always embraced as a culture, no matter where we are on this rock, let alone the way it is now, where we're kind of spread out how we are. And we're sharing this information and sharing these things. And if I can, there's one other part of this that I do want to touch on. And I don't mean to be Jimmy Serious on you guys or anything, but it is kind of my bag. It's kind of what I do. There is a lot more division out there than there's ever been. Mm-hmm. But it's never been more evident to many of us that we are more connected than ever. And the things we have in common, the things we share. And if we can, especially young kids, we can teach them a little bit more about another culture and more they understand it. The more likelihood statistically that they are going to grow up not disliking that culture. Maybe they dislike somebody that happens to be of that culture, but that's because maybe they're a jerk or maybe they had a better interaction. And that's one of those things that I like to think a lot of us are shooting for, is to get to a day where if we don't like each other, it's just because we're jerks. You know, it's not because of all these other things. This day spreads that kind of stuff. When I was a little kid, and as soon as I moved out here, every grade I had, when Hanukkah would come around, I was asked to go up in front of the class and tell everybody what Hanukkah was. And I hated it. It was embarrassing and it was, you know, nerve-wracking and all that. But by the time I got to high school, I started to appreciate the opportunity I had. Because some of the kids that would make fun of me for being Jewish, they were in that same class with me. Later on, they would make fun of my hair. It wasn't so much because I was Jewish. They would make fun of other things about me. And that's what kids do. more knowledge is spread out there, the more the kids understand things, the harder it is to dislike somebody because you understand their culture, you understand why they're doing these things. If we can spread that awareness, if we can get more and more people informed and understanding of other cultures, the less likely they are to hate on those cultures. This to me is another one of those things that this does. It's not its intention maybe, but it is a side effect. It is a beautiful side effect of it.
Yeah, a lot of times we have a lot of stereotypes, right? And there's only pieces that we are aware of, right? We all know we love foods from certain places, but then there's these other components that we can embrace that there's a chance for you to learn about that ties in to that culture. So I agree with you, and I think that that's why it's so important to take advantage of opportunities like these. So when we partner, you know, when the library wants to offer something like this too, so it's not just us from the 4-H side, but like being so welcomed by the library and saying, yes, let's do this, let's offer this for free, so that way like families, there's no barriers to that, and so I'm,
Let's go over the details of the event. It is going to be happening tomorrow, or no, Saturday, I see.
Saturday the 29th, We'll start around 1 o'clock. We'll do, like, the educational piece, the sugar skulls first. And so we'll do all of that in the multipurpose room. So it's fine if you didn't register. Just come on in and come, you know, enjoy that event with us. And then we'll transition over to their theater where we're going to watch Coco. So we'll wrap up around 4 o'clock. And if, you know, we have families that I know it's a busy time too. Mm-hmm. So if they can only stay for that first part, totally fine. If they want to come around maybe 2 when we're going to be starting the movie, totally fine as well.
I was curious about that. Thanks for mentioning that. Certainly when it comes to this, an event, like, we want people to be able to stay the whole time, but it's nice to know that you have that option. Mm-hmm. When it comes to making, like, are kids going to be painting the sugar skulls themselves?
So, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Not just kids. Everybody that wants to do a skull, James.
Because I was asking
too.
For a friend. Just a, you know, 45-year-old guy I know who might want to maybe do this. Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you.
So we have some edible markers. So sugar skulls, you know, they're made with meringue powder, sugar, and water.
Oh, okay.
So they take a while to kind of harden. So they have to, you know, sit for about 12 hours. And then usually, typically, we do royal icing. But because royal icing can sometimes take a little bit too, it can be a little bit messy. Mm-hmm. We're doing some edible markers instead. So it's really cool. It's really relaxing too. So, you know, just kind of painting and decorating and...
And it feels like something that, you know, say next year, hopefully you guys have this event again. But even as we get closer to the Halloween and all that, something that people can make at home and learn how to make at home something. I know we love being able to do that kind of thing. So that's another cool part of this.
So part of the presentation will be a video that shows the process is super easy. Really, the longest part of sugar skulls is just letting them dry. That is it.
Yeah. Which is something I'm not great at. I'll admit that wholeheartedly. I have a lot of patience except for with baking. I'm bad at it. I really am. So once I see it made, I just want to dive right into it. Yeah. You got to let it sit.
Yeah. So I've got to just jump in here because when Jasmine first started talking about this and talking about adding the sugar skull component in and to add that sugar skull component in for everybody, I just kind of wanted to stop and check her a little bit because you know what? That dry time does take a lot, right? And so the molds are tied up for a long time as that first set is drying and everything. And I thought, boy, do you really know what you're doing here, Jasmine? And she has such a love for sharing this with everybody that I think it's an incredible example of generosity, of just kind of that sharing and willing to go that extra mile to make something happen. I had a meeting up in Wausau last week, and lo and behold, there was a sugar skull there waiting for me to decorate. And at first I was like, why? Why would you do this when it's for us? But boy, you know what? I loved it. And it was, so I just want to shout out to Jasmine for that.
Well, nicely done. You. I appreciate that, Laura. Especially, I love the backstory. I love that. That's great. And, you know, Jasmine and I could throw it right back at you, Laura. Because you, the things that you have done and shared with us about 4-H, I have told you many times. I came into this when we first started talking, not knowing much at all about 4-H. I'm one of your biggest supporters now. I go out of my way to talk about the 4-H and encourage people and young people to be a part of it and everything. I look for ways I can get involved, you know, and that kind of thing. It's equal, it's mutually equal respect for both of you and what you guys are doing. And this stuff, while it has all these other deeper meanings and everything, please do not get let it be missed. This is a lot of fun, you guys. This is a lot of a great time for your kids, for your family. Take this one in. Before we wrap up for the day, we will touch on the details of the event again. Before we touch on this, Laura, is there any other events that we want to remind the audience about? We got about 10 minutes here to play around with.
So, Jasmine, you've got a list coming up. Do you want to talk about it?
I throw it to you and we go right back.
No, that's okay. We were just going to mention Juntos. I know we have talked about Juntos before. So that'll be starting in Marshfield tonight. And again, if people are interested, this is a program that helps us, you know, teach parents and Latino students about just options to get to graduation and then post-secondary options, right? So it's completely free. It's for 9th through 12th graders, Latino students in high school in the Marshfield area. They can come as a family. We want them to come as a family. We'll have dinner available, childcare available. It's at the First Presbyterian Church there in Marshfield. And so if people have questions, they can give me a call. But, you know, it starts at 5:30. So if we have people listening, they know families that would benefit from this, have them just show up.
Or I would say if there's anybody in the Wisconsin Rapids area that would be willing to travel to Marshfield for the program, they would certainly be welcome to attend as well. One of the pieces that I don't think we understand about immigrant families, we forget about, is that school systems are completely different in all different countries. And so the purpose of Juntos is really to help them understand what this local American school system is like so that the families can succeed. And in order for the students to succeed, they really need families. Support in that space. So
this is a personal one to me, and not for necessarily those reasons, Laura, but my a loose kinship to that. We're just talking between Wisconsin and Illinois for me. I went to about 10 different schools before I was 10. And one school, I'm learning arithmetic, and then I go to this next school, and they've already learned that, and they moved on from it. And my education suffered for it. I'm not very bright, you guys. I try to tell people this all the time. But with that, that was just between two, you know, states. And everything. And it was difficult for me. And it's something that I struggle with for the majority of my life, really. I can't imagine. I literally can't even wrap my head around what it might be like to come from another country, to not even speak the language and everything. While I speak a lot of broken English, at least people spoke English where I was going. And it's so difficult, the layers that exist. And these are people that are Americans now. They are our people. Well, even if they weren't, it wouldn't matter to me. But just for those that it might out there, they're one of us. They're part of us. And they're a part of this system. And if we want them to be able to contribute to our society and our life, there's got to be a little meeting of the minds here. There's got to be a bridge there of, hey, we want to help you learn this. And, you know, while we're learning, you're learning my stuff, what can I learn about you? What can I learn about your culture and stuff and a sharing of these things? It not only makes them more incorporated and more into the soil, into the country, but it's a good thing. I mean, it's fun knowledge. It's fun to learn about other cultures. It's interesting to learn about these things. It's a gift that we have in this country, that our country is built this way. It's one of our superpowers that we are able to take people in from all over the world, bring them here, and you know, we work together. We adapt. It's a really cool thing to be able to have, and something that if you could be a part of this, man, cannot encourage you enough to be a part of it.
Yeah. So the other thing that I was just going to mention is just our 4-H foodie. So I know we've talked about that before, too. We just had one in Nakusa, and it was a big hit, and we made flatbreads and stuff like that. So we have another one coming up this time in Marshfield. So we're trying to really bring 4-H to all different parts of Wood County.
Yeah.
And so Marshfield Saturday, November 12th from 3 to 4:30, again at First Presbyterian Church there in 200 South Lincoln Avenue in Marshfield. That one is $8 per youth, and like you know, we have scholarships available. We don't ever want cost to be a barrier. The space is limited, so we have a registration link as well there for people to register, and it's for all youth third grade and up, not just 4-Hers, anybody that wants to learn. We have special guests, Melissa and William Darr. They're locally known there in Marshfield. They've just done, you know, she used to be a restaurant owner, and she's
okay. I know, I've heard their names before.
Yeah,
okay.
She did presentations at the fair this year, cooking presentations, cooking demos. And so we're really excited. She's going to be doing some holiday treats with the participants. And so more information on our website and our Facebook page, but that's another thing coming up.
Yeah. Excellent. And then the following weekend, it's opening day of gun deer season. I know it's almost like a holiday in itself, yes, and we're breaking the rules, but we have two really cool art programs coming up on Saturday the 19th. And these, again, are open to the to everybody. You don't have to be a 4-H member, but one is discovering art, and then the other one is canvas painting. And those are both with a partnership with iHeart Art Studio.
It's one of those
here
ones.
In Wisconsin Rapids.
It's such a great name for a place. And it is one of those ones. The tongue twister is a little bit, but man, it's a great name.
Right. And so the morning session is the art discovery labs. And so our younger students, up until I think sixth grade, will be able to explore different aspects of art, that, you know, going from station to station. And then that afternoon, we'll have our older, like middle and high school students come in for a beautiful canvas painting of a night sky with the aurora borealis or the northern lights flowing through. Ooh. It's beautiful. So for all of these programs, I think it's so much easier just to direct people to our website rather than try to give links over the air.
Yeah, yeah. And that website, that is?
I just be or go easy and Google Wood County, Wisconsin 4-H, and Google will get you there.
Yes, yeah. Trust your search engine. It'll take you to the right place. As we're wrapping up last 5-4 minutes we got here, Laura, I wanted to touch on this with you, that 4-H has got opportunities for people to be a part of 4-H.
Exactly. So in 4-H, you know, our staff really bring their character, their interests, their skills to the local program. And with that, we broaden the horizons. So I'm going to be honest, I would not have led a Day of the Dead event if it weren't for Jasmine coming in and bringing her herself to herself, let's just admit it. And now we have an incredible opportunity through AmeriCorps and Marshfield Clinic to be able to bring a couple of half-time or three-quarter-time assistant educators into our program.
Wow.
The really cool thing about this is assistant educators can just be high school graduates, age 18 and older. There's, I would say, a modest living stipend that they receive. But at the end of their commitment, they get a large educational award, which is basically a scholarship to be used. And it could be used for themselves. Or if we have some older, more experienced, how about that, individuals out there that might be interested, that educational award could also be used for their children or their grandchildren.
Wow.
So we're accepting applications now through November 11th. And so we're asking for a resume and a cover letter. And what these individuals will do will help us get 4-H into schools. There are ways that we can do in-school 4-H programming, which is just, it's hands-on learning. And we can work with teachers to tie, you know, to the curriculum. So it's appropriate that way. Or we could do after-school programs. And we'd also be asking these individuals to help us with our education programs in regular 4-H, too. The overarching goal of the AmeriCorps program through Marshfield Clinic is to promote physical and mental health for our young people. Well, in us, it's for our young people. Sure. I think other programs are doing for adults. And helping kids discover who they are, you know, discover their spark so they can thrive, so they can really be the best people that they can be, so they can feel like they're successful and confident and have skills, you know, that matter. That's what we're trying to do through this program. So I believe we have space and opportunity for two half-time or possibly even two three-quarter time assistant educators. So I would be happy to field questions. If people wonder more about what the job would entail, they can call me or they can email me.
It doesn't seem like a huge time commitment either, you know, for those, if you're looking for part-time work or if you're looking for something that can fit a unique schedule or something like that.
Well, that's the thing with our schedules, isn't it, Jasmine? Like, some is during the day, some is evening, some is weekends, but we have a lot of flexibility in scheduling and program, or in scheduling and creating our own program schedule. And that would certainly hold true for this assistant educator position as well.
It's it's not lost on people where it I wouldn't say it's more difficult, but we've been, you know, wanting to get volunteers or getting people to assist or even part-time people to jobs, just anywhere, let alone nonprofits, have struggled with it. The way they have set this up is perfect. It's masterful. The idea with the scholarship end of things and stuff, and the fact that there's that looseness to it, if you could use it yourself or give it to a family member, I think that is one of the more unique, cool things I have heard as far as hiring people goes. That's a really smart idea.
And one piece that I would add in is that for that three-quarter time person, that also includes no cost health, vision, and dental care insurance. And so that's not something that you see often.
No.
I don't have no-cost health insurance,
right?
So it really is a generous program. And the purpose of AmeriCorps is really to get people out there to help make communities better and stronger. And this Marshfield Clinic one, like I said, its aim is mental and physical health. But what you would be doing is really bringing hands-on education to young people in a supportive way.
So. Telling you, I love my job, but you're getting me to question things here a little bit. Maybe I need to look at 4-H a little bit.
Hey, James, I've got a list of things that I could have you leading here, my friend.
I look forward to seeing that list. Jasmine, can we tell them the details again of Dia de los Muertos?
Yeah, so we will be at McMillan Memorial Library here in Wisconsin Rapids Saturday, Saturday, October 29th, from 1 to 4, and just come on by during that time frame, 1 to 2, probably that Sugar Skull activity and presentation, and then 2, that Coco movie.
And Laura, again, if people want follow-up information, want to ask questions about these things, just throw them to the website, type in your search bar, Wood County 4-H.
Yep.
Okay.
And our phone number that you can reach either me or Jasmine at is 715-421-8439, and that'll get you direct to the 4-H line.
Thank you both so much what you do for our communities and hanging out with us and everything. Appreciate it. Looking forward to talking again real soon.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for your help, James.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.